The Lord be with you.
And
welcome as we gather to worship God together as Murfreesboro Baptist Church on this third Sunday of Advent. We are delighted that you are here and appreciate your presence. Any guests we may have in our service, we're especially glad to have you with us today. Thank you for being a part of our worship. And we also welcome those joining us by our live stream or our radio broadcast. We're grateful you're sharing in our worship today. And pray that it'll be a blessing to you as you join in with us. And if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you come worship with us here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let me mention several things. The food bank of the Albemarle will be here on Tuesday. Volunteers need to be here by 2:30. 1:30, I'm sorry. Okay, by 1:30. Thank you. The white Christmas boxes, the contributions deadline is tomorrow, and then on Thursday, the 21st, at 9 a.m., we'll gather to pack those and then to distribute them. So keep that in mind and hope you'll be able to help with that. Remember that we are participating in the fuel assistance program. There are details in the bulletin about that. Our food pantry, we still need some volunteers to contribute some items on a monthly basis. You can sign up on the bulletin board beside the pantry. We want to say thank you to all those who supported the Angel Tree Project. All the names got taken. There were a lot of gifts that were there for those kids. And the people from the middle school were very excited about that. And so we're grateful. The elementary school were very excited about that. Now, next Sunday, of course, will be Christmas Eve. We'll have our regular services on Sunday morning. And then at 5:30 Sunday evening, we'll have our candlelight service. And this year, we're going to do a service of lessons and carols and communion. I think last year, you all on Sunday morning did the service of lessons and carols. That has 9 lessons and 9 carols. We're going to cut that to 7 because we're also doing communion. But it'll be a very meaningful time of worship. And I hope that you'll be here to share in and invite your friends in the community. If they're not having service at their church or if they're not in church, invite them to come and share in this special service with us. It will be a wonderful time. Now, let me mention that our deacons need to meet briefly in the library right after service today. And then in your bulletin, you find a survey. And it is about the possibility of Wednesday evening Bible study, resuming that. And some other options on there as well. If you will take time to complete that, you don't have to complete it this morning because I don't want you doing that while we're worshiping, okay? But outside on each side and then in the foyer, there is a box that you can place your completed surveys in. Now, if you want to hang around for a couple of minutes after church and fill it out and go ahead and put it in so you don't forget it, that's fine. But don't do it while we're worshiping, okay? We are glad that you are here as we have gathered together to worship God. And we'll begin with our call to worship with the lighting of the Advent wreath by the Sainer family.
By relighting the first two candles in our Advent wreath, we are reminded of God's gifts of hope and peace. Today we will light the third candle, the candle of joy.
As we wait for Christmas, anticipating the birth of Jesus, we look forward to the joyful celebrations we will share and those we love. The prophet Zephaniah calls us to shout for joy because God will transform the people. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angel told the shepherds not to be afraid. The angels brought good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. The good news of Jesus' birth and the promise of shalom are still tidings of great joy for us today.
Paul tells us to rejoice in God always. The third candle reminds us of our joy in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. God of joy, thank you for the excitement and delight we experience at this joyful time of year. Help us to share your joy with others so that they too will be filled with your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and sing stanza 1, 2, and 3 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 79.
Please join me in our litany of invocation. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Our hymn of praise is number 103, O Come All You Faithful.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Open that for me, Lennox, and tell me what's inside. What does that look like?
A shepherd.
A shepherd. All right. Very good. Are they That's all right. Thank you. All right. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the shepherds a little bit. During the night, when all was quite still, shepherds were sheep watching out on a hill. A Savior is born, boomed a rushing wind voice. I herald Messiah. It's time to rejoice. Now what stood before them? An angel in white with eyes full of fire and stature of might. Go to Bethlehem now. In a stable you'll find a babe in a manger. That is your sign. Then finding a stable where they saw a light shine through the wallboards and into the night, the shepherds looked in, and what did they see? The manger, a baby. They fell to their knees. So this must be him. This is the sign. They had found Jesus, the Savior divine. These shepherds joined in the first celebration of Christmas because of this grand revelation. Now the shepherds were told about Jesus' birth in an unusual way, and they found him in an unusual place. Do you think this baby was unusual too? Why? Why? Okay. Yeah. What else? Think of anything else? Was he just any other baby? Yeah, he was the king. He was the son of God, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Jeffrey, take that one, open it up, and tell me what's in there. What you think? A king? Yeah. Or a wise man? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Now, way in the east lived some men who were wise. They saw a new star when they looked to the skies. This must be the star written here in our book. It tells of a king. Let's go take a look. So they followed this star until it finally rested where Mary, the mother, and Jesus were nested. When they stepped inside, they all fell to the floor to worship the king. But then there was more. These men gave him frankincense, myrrh, and fine gold to honor the one the new star had foretold. And then in a dream, they learned not to go back by way of King Herod. He planned to attack. So they chose to go home on a different way. The child's location they did not betray. As Mary thought through these events in her mind, she said, God is so loving, protective, and kind. In this poem, Mary describes God as loving and protective and kind. You agree with that? Yeah. Yeah, he is, isn't he? And he was watching over Jesus and protecting him. Now, what God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7 that Miss Sarah will open with you next week, it is disguised. But no peeking. Be patient. For this you must wait. It's what you offer him. And it's really great. And I hope you'll be here to find out next week. Shh. No peeking, don't tell. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we celebrate this time of the year during Advent as we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ. And Father, we pray for these children and ask that you will make this a very special time to them. Lord, we pray you would watch over them, you would help them to grow in your grace, and help them to become strong disciples of Jesus. We pray now in his name. Amen. Thank you. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we join together in prayer this morning, there are a number of requests that have been shared. We want to remember Brad and Yvonne Warren, also Freddie Bazin's granddaughter, Brandy Harris, down in Wilmington, T.K. Warren's cousin's wife, Valerie Warren, from Newport, Tennessee. She's at home from the hospital, but she has several different health issues going on, and also continuing prayers for Faye Phipps Jenkins. Also, we want to pray for Gerald Taylor. He's going through some health problems right now, and also John Vick will be having some tests done later this week. So let's join together in prayer, remembering all these folks, and one more. Ruth Daniel lost her sister in Florida this past week, and we want to remember her. So let's join together in prayer now. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. O Lord, our God, we are truly amazed at the things that we're preparing our hearts to celebrate during this Advent season. To celebrate how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To celebrate how God the Son became incarnate as a baby born in a stable and laid in a manger. To celebrate how through that seemingly helpless child, you were setting out to redeem the world. To celebrate, Lord, how we look forward to His return in glory when He will raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. To celebrate, Lord, how through your Holy Spirit, He is present with us day by day, guiding and directing us, enabling us and empowering us to live as His disciples. To celebrate, Father, how you, the creator of this universe, loved us in such a way that you sent your only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. All glory and praise and honor and dominion to you, O Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we exalt your name. And Lord, we come to you to bring to you not only our prayers and praises and thanksgivings for all your blessings, but also to lift our prayers and petitions to you. Lord, we have many in our own congregation or connected to our congregation in some way who are in need. Each of these that we have called by name this morning, Lord, we lift them to you. You know what their situations are. We know, Father, that you are a God who heals. We know also, Lord, that there are times when you choose to work in other ways. Lord, we pray where it can be your will, you would bring healing, whether it's miraculous healing or whether it is through the wisdom and understanding that you have given to the medical community, that you would use that to bring about health once more. Lord, we know that sometimes you choose, though, to work in other ways, that the suffering that we go through is not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us, and that sometimes you give that miracle of endurance which bears such a powerful witness to those around the one who is suffering. So, Father, we pray for you to work according to your will in each situation, for we know that your will is always best because we know that you're working all things together for our eternal good to make us like Jesus Christ. Father, in each case, meet their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Bless them and help them, O Lord. Father, for those who grieve, we ask your help, your comfort, your strength. We know, Father, that sometimes grief goes on a long time, and We pray that you would help those for whom their grief is brought back fresh in this holiday season. Father, we pray for our community around us. We thank you, Lord, for the ways that you work through our church to minister to this community. And we pray that you will help us to be a shining light to them. And Lord, that as we seek to bear witness through deeds of love and kindness, that that will open the door for us to share a verbal witness to help people know how they can know you and trust in you. Father, we pray that you would work through our church to have a kingdom impact on this community, and that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do, and that people would be turned to you. Father, we pray for the situation in our world with all the wars that are going on, all the violence and the oppression and the injustice that we see so often. We ask, Father, that you would intervene, that you would bring peace to war-torn lands. Lord, that it would be your will to bring these hostilities to an end in a way that is fair and just to all involved. We pray especially, Father, for those who are being affected by these wars, innocents who are being affected in so many ways. Please help them, Father. Give them your grace. Lord, we pray for our country. We see so many things that seem to be going awry, and we ask that you would work, Lord, that you would guide our leaders at all levels. We pray, Father, that you'd send a time of spiritual renewal in your church and a time of spiritual awakening in the land. And Father, that hearts would be turned to you and many would come to know you. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who face persecution because of their faith and ask that you will help them. Be with us now, Father, as we continue in our worship. Help us that in all that we do, we would honor and glorify you, and your church would be built up and strengthened in you. We lift all these prayers now in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. And we offer our prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 132, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Oh,
As we give our tithes and offerings this morning, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so, Lord, we pray you would accept these gifts from grateful hearts, thankful for all that you have blessed us with, hearts that want to share in the work of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and verses 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Thank you. Our text this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 9, and we'll read there in just a few minutes. You know, a word, just a single word, can be a powerful thing. Take that little word, but. Three little letters, B-U-T. Somebody's talking with you and they're saying good things about somebody or something, maybe even about you. And then all of a sudden, you get the feeling that there's a but coming. And it's going to change the entire conversation. Or what about that little word, if? Just two little letters, if. If so-and-so had happened then, I can't tell you how many times through the years that if my drive hadn't either sliced or hooked, or if my approach shot had just been better, or if my putt had been 2 inches to the right or to the, well, you get the idea. Powerful little word. There's a word in the text that we're going to look at this morning on this third Sunday of Advent that has one of those powerful words in it. Now, it's a little longer than but or if, but it's one of those words that can make all the difference. And it occurs several times in this text, and it's vitally important in understanding what the text is saying. So, as you listen to the text, and as you follow along in your Bibles, see if you can spot what the word is. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 9. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Did you catch the word? Instead. Instead. It's used three times in the text. In this passage, the prophet used it to speak a powerful message about what God was going to do. Now, these messages that we find in this last section of the book of Isaiah, chapters 56 through 66, were intended for the Jews who had returned from Babylon after the exile. In their despair, they needed these words from the Lord. Their hopes had been high, their dreams had been big. Judah would be restored, God would reestablish David's kingdom, and all would be glory. That's what they were dreaming of. That's what they were hoping for. But when they returned, they found most of what Babylon's army had destroyed still in ruins, especially in Jerusalem. Even the temple was nothing but a burned-out shell. So they were in mourning and despair. God had a word for them. In verses 1 through 3, the prophet announced his call and commission. He said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and that He had anointed Him to bring good news to the oppressed. He had sent Him to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance as well. The Lord had sent Him, He said, to comfort all who mourn. and to give to those grieving in Zion a garland instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. In other words, he was sent to proclaim God's sure and gracious promise. God would replace all the customary signs of mourning, sackcloth and ashes, unkempt appearance, everything that showed mourning and despair. God would replace that with signs of blessing and joy and praise. And the Lord would restore them in such a way that the nations would respect them as priests of God. Through serving and caring for and supporting them, the nations would free God's people to accomplish His purpose. Their doubled shame and disgrace would be reversed with a double portion of inheritance from God, accompanied by everlasting joy. And God's action in all this would be based on His character, because He loves justice and He hates robbery and wrongdoing. And so out of His faithfulness, He'd reward them and He'd make His everlasting covenant with them. And the nations would see them and acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. So in sublime terms, the prophet announced his call to proclaim what I like to call God's great instead to His people. For hundreds of years, the Jewish people looked for the fulfillment of these promises. Now, there were some blessings, there was some rebuilding, including the temple, but David's kingdom had not been restored, and the temple that had been rebuilt paled in comparison to the one Solomon had built. The Persian power the exiles were under when they had returned fell in time to Alexander the Great and his Greek armies, and when Alexander died, his empire was divided among four of his generals. Well, by the 2nd century B.C., the Seleucids, who were the Syrian heirs to one portion of that empire, were ruling Palestine. Antiochus IV, who took for himself very vainly the nickname Epiphanes, which means the revealed one. Well, he decided that everybody needed to live the Greek lifestyle and practice the Greek religions. And he set about to enforce that on pain of death for many. Well, led by the Jewish priest Mattathias and his sons, especially Judas Maccabeus, some of the Jews revolted. In 167 B.C., they retook Jerusalem. They cleansed and rededicated the temple that Antiochus had defiled. And Jews still celebrate that victory. Do you know when? At Hanukkah, Festival of Lights. That's what they celebrate. Well, they kept on fighting, and by 164 B.C., the Maccabees had won the Jews' religious freedom. By 142, they had won their independence, and that independence lasted for 79 years, but under the rule of a high priest rather than a king in the line of David. That quickly led to the corruption of the high priesthood, and so by 63 B.C., it didn't take very long, there was this intense political battle going on among the Jews. And so guess who stepped in? The Roman general Pompey. And he annexed Palestine and took it over. And that's how things still were when Jesus came. For over 90 years. And then Jesus came. And he claimed this passage from Isaiah as his mission statement in Luke chapter 4. Now, you may be sitting there and thinking to yourself, okay, well, that's all well and good, but what in the world does that have to do with Advent and Christmas, and what in the world does it have to do with me? A whole lot. A whole lot. To answer the first question, in Advent we prepare. Advent looks forward to Christmas and to Christ's return, the resurrection at the last day, the judgment, the consummation of God's kingdom. Jesus declared that He came to fulfill this passage. That's why He came. As for the second question, the way that this text relates to us today is that at Christmas, we celebrate God's great instead, which we can know through faith in Jesus Christ. Through what he's done in Christ, God gives us deliverance instead of destruction. As John 3:16 tells us, God gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Through Christ, God gives us a relationship instead of rejection. He has every right to reject us because of our sin and our sinfulness. But instead, he chooses to bring us into a right relationship with him. And he promises us eternal life through Christ's life and death and resurrection. In Christ, God gives us justification instead of justice. Rather than leaving us alienated because of our sin to suffer justly for eternity in hell on the basis of Christ's obedience and righteousness, he justifies us. He sets us right with himself. And he works in us to make us actually righteous. By Jesus' sacrificial life and death and by his resurrection power, God gives us salvation instead of separation. It would have been easy in one sense for God simply to have washed his hands of us like he talked about doing with the Jews from time to time, but never did. He was determined to save a people for himself out of our rebellious human race. And so in Christ, he did away with the sin that separated us from him and from one another, and he saved us by his marvelous grace. And because he's done all this in Christ, he gives us delight instead of despair. No matter how hard the trial, how difficult the circumstances, how bleak the prospect, God is there. And we can look to Christ and the salvation that he has brought us and find delight when others are in despair. Now think about the absolute magnitude of all this. Imagine a criminal standing before the judge for sentencing. He's been convicted. And this judge says to the criminal, "Your crime calls for the death sentence. But I have the power to show you mercy. Someone else has already died on your behalf. If you will accept it and depend on that, on what that person has done, I will set you free." You see, it's only by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior that we can know and experience God's great instead. Only by trusting Jesus can we experience his deliverance and justification and salvation and a right relationship with him. And this kind of faith is so simple, and yet it's so profound. It's simply taking God at his word. It's more than believing the facts about Jesus with our head. It's believing the facts in such a way that we make a genuine commitment in our hearts. That we turn from our ways to his ways. That we turn from self and self-will to God and his will. Giving up ourselves to him. Depending on him to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Trusting him. There's no other way. As Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." So at Christmas, we'll celebrate God's great instead, realizing that we can know it only through faith in Jesus. So as we prepare to celebrate Christ's birth and look forward to his return, for each of us, it comes down to this question. Have you experienced God's great instead? Have you? Well, if you haven't, you can right now. Simply put your faith in Jesus. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Yield your life to him. Ask him to forgive you, deliver you, and set things right between him and you. Instead of depending on yourself, depend on Christ. Instead of continuing on your way that will ultimately lead to your destruction, turn to Him and follow His way that leads to eternal life. Instead of trying to earn your own way into a right relationship with God, something you can never achieve, simply receive His free gift of grace and be saved. Amen. Let's pray. And so, Lord, in these moments of reflection and commitment now, we pray that You would help us to celebrate Your great instead. Lord, if there are those who have not experienced that great instead, may they turn to You this morning. May they experience it. May each of us, Lord, experience afresh and anew what You've done for us in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 126, Angels from the Realms of Glory. As we sing, if there's a commitment you need to share this morning, or if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you need to declare that, we invite you to come. Or if you need guidance in making that commitment, we invite you to come. Number 126.